We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
Voters in several Illinois cities go to the polls tomorrow. In Chicago, voters will cast ballots in a contest to determine who will succeed Richard M. Daley. Daley announced he would not seek a seventh term as mayor last September. Daley assumed office in 1989. When he leaves office in May, he will have been mayor for 22 years. Daley followed in his father's footsteps. Richard J. Daley dominated Chicago politics for more than 20 years, beginning in the 1950s. To get some perspective on this history and its impact on tomorrow's election in Chicago, we've called University of Illinois historian Jim Barrett. His interests include urban, labor, and ethnic history. Jim Barrett, good afternoon.
Hi, Celeste.
During his tenure, Richard J. Daley was one of the most powerful Democrats in the country. Would you say the same of his son?
I think that within the city, Daley II, the younger Daley, again, exercised enormous power, in some ways probably more effectively than his father. At the national level, he also has a profile. You see him showing up in Washington regularly. But of the two, at the national level, within the Democratic Party, I think there is actually a difference. I think that Richard J. Daley probably exerted more direct influence on party politics than Richard M. has managed.
Hmm. Why was Chicago's political machine so strong for so long?
Part of it has to do with timing. It came along a bit later in terms of an effective citywide machine that sort of stitched together the city's various ethnic groups. There were kind of localized ward machines much earlier, but a citywide machine didn't really emerge until the Depression era. And when it did, the Irish, who had been very influential in city politics up to that period, made kind of a significant turn by effectively integrating the city's various ethnic and racial groups. And that was less successful in some other cities. A negative example would be Tammany Hall in New York City, which rose much earlier and exerted tremendous influence, but had really, was declining by the 1930s. What we recognize as the current machine in Chicago probably doesn't date back to before the early 1930s. And this effective integration of ethnic groups is really one of the keys. And you can still kind of see that reflected in the electoral politics in the city, certainly more than for a lot of other cities in the U.S.
Yeah. Mayor Daley has been in office for 22 years. When the new mayor takes office in May, what challenges will lie ahead in terms of his or her relationship with the city council?
The issue of the ethnic and racial basis of politics in the city remains a challenge. I think it's less a problem than it was a generation back when Harold Washington was the first black mayor of the city. But that's still an issue. Emmanuel, who's a front runner right now, has had some success reaching out to both the Latino and the black community. He's managed to garner significant support in both those areas. So that's one issue. Another issue is economics in the city. Chicago is usually thought about as having made a successful turn from heavy industry towards a more service-based economy and a corporate headquarters and so forth. But the city really still has a lot of economic problems, and the new mayor is going to have to address those along with these social issues.
Care to make a prediction?
Well, right now it looks like Emmanuel, but I think for reasons that are different from what people outside of the city may be assuming. Everyone connects him with the White House and thinks it's the name recognition that's probably made a difference. I really don't see much evidence of that at all within the city. I think the money part of it, you know, it's by far the best funded of the campaigns. That indirectly has something to do with his national connections. But mostly people in the city are concerned with local issues, and he's held out some promises with regard to taxes, for example, with more luxury taxes and the possibility of a tax cut for the middle class. And I think it's more those issues, crime, economic development, that taxes that are likely to make a big difference. But he's far enough out in front that it's going to be difficult for Chico, who's the other possibility, to catch up.
Would it be fair to say that Chicagoans like strong mayors?
Yeah, I wish that were not the case, but I think that probably there's something to that. But the paradox is the way that you become powerful, which is to practice this effective sort of integration of a lot of different groups. In other words, the power is based less on the particular personality and more on the organizational structure. And even though Richard M. Daley is thought about as being a very different sort of political leader than Richard J., and he is, he's really built effectively, you know, an inter-ethnic and to a considerable degree an interracial machine. So if that can qualify as a powerful mayor, then I think people probably are looking for that.
We've seen race and ethnicity play out in past elections. How has it played out this year?
It's present, and you can see that reflected not only in the range of candidates, two Latino, one black, and one white ethnic candidate, but also in terms of the debates. I think it is different. The most recent poll that I've seen, which was a Tribune poll that broke things down by race and ethnicity, strongly indicated that people were voting a bit less on purely on racial and ethnic identification and a bit more on issues. And I think that reflects changes taking place in the city. The city is still quite segregated along racial lines, but neighborhoods are a bit more integrated than they were a generation ago, and I think people are reflecting that in this focus on the broader issues.
Mm. In addition to your interest in urban history, you're interested in labor history. What are your thoughts about what's happening in Wisconsin?
Well, first of all, I mean, it's no great insight that it's the beginning round. In other words, what we're seeing happening in Madison, Wisconsin, is going to be happening certainly throughout the Midwest and quite possibly in other parts of the country as well. Looks like Ohio, for example, will be next. But again, the issues, I mean, what's putting a lot of force behind these protests is an issue that's a little bit different than what I think most people are focusing on. It's a natural tendency to think about these confrontations in purely economic terms. And so in that regard, people are focusing on the issues of wages and especially the pension systems for public employees. Those are extremely important issues, and there's some very real economic problems involved there. But this is also a matter of opportunity for particularly for more conservative politicians to reorganize electoral the voting a little bit and to settle scores a bit, so that in Madison, for example, the issue that's really turning out large numbers of people actually is not the pension system. It's the proposal to effectively do away with collective bargaining for public employees. That's really a massive shift if it were ever to take place. And whatever else you want to say about them, unions are really not in the business of signing their own death warrants by going along with this kind of legislation. So I think that you can expect big protests along the lines of what's happening in Madison and other places as well. And just to sort of bring it back home a little bit, people may or may not be aware that along with all the other budget issues before the legislature, there is legislation along the lines of what's been proposed in Wisconsin, if not for all public employees, then certainly for teachers. And the right to strike, for example, is at risk, particularly for the Chicago Teachers Union, and collective bargaining rights for teachers more generally are at risk throughout the state. And what's a little bit different in Illinois from Wisconsin, aside from the obvious difference of the party in control of the state house and the legislature, is that if anything, the labor movement's probably stronger in Illinois than it is in Wisconsin. So to go back to your original question, I mean, my first thought is that we're likely to see a lot more of this, and it's going to make for